Good morning, everyone. This summer, we've been preaching on various psalms which have spoken to us as individual preachers. Today, I'll be preaching on Psalm 88. This may seem different than other weeks, as this psalm is a lament. It is rare that we teach about lament in the church, but it is a feeling we all deal with from time to time, and we know there is much to learn about it. Listen while I read Psalm 88. Lord, you are the God who saves me. Day and night I cry out to you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry. I am overwhelmed with troubles, and my life draws near to death. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like one without strength. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom remember you no more, who are cut off from your care. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily on me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. You have taken me from my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do their spirits rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in the place of darkness, or your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? But I cry to you for help, Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth, I have suffered and been close to death. I have borne your terrors and am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. You have taken me from friend and neighbor. Darkness is my closest friend. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it teaches us not only about how to praise you in good times, but also how to lament. May your words be glorified and used for your purposes today. In Jesus' name, amen. The Christian group called Casting Crowns sings a song called Praise You in the Storm. Some of the lyrics go like this: and I'll praise you in the storm, and I will lift my hands that you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand. You never left my side. And though my heart is torn, I will praise you in this storm. I'm sure many of us have felt like this over the past few months, some of us over a lifetime. There are tears, there may be heartbreak, but still, there's praise. Not so with Psalm 88. Psalm 88, a psalm of Heman, son of the Korites, who were relatives of Moses, had several alternative titles in other biblical translations. Darkness is my closest friend. I am as one dead. A bitter prayer of distress. A prayer for help in despondency. In the title it says, according to Mahala Linoth, which means on the sickness of affliction, a lesson. There is no praise in this psalm. You might be wondering, Pastor Bonnie, why would you take us to such a depressing psalm? There's nothing good about this psalm. It all sounds so disheartening. But believe it or not, one can find hope amongst these words of pain in this psalm. It's a psalm that can speak to us through a song, through our tears. And it is a psalm which has helped me in times of depression. Psalm 88 is thought of by many as the hopeless psalm. Not one that we would see on a plaque at Christian Book and Record, but it is also marked, little plug there, it is also marked as a worship psalm. Did you know we can lament in our worship? The purpose of the psalm, you could say, is to bring us in humility before the Lord. John Calvin said of the psalm, it contains very grievous laments poured out by its inspired writer when under severe affliction and almost at the point of despair. But he, at the same time, while struggling with sorrow, declares the invincible steadfastness of his faith, which he displayed in calling on God to deliver him, even when he was in the deep darkness of death. Even in the darkness of his anguish, he does not deny the Lord, but turns to the Lord for freedom. Verse 1 is the only positive communication in the entire psalm, which makes for the biblical researcher a mystery to be explored. First of all, this is the only psalm written by Heman. This Heman is not He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, but Heman, a Levite mentioned with his family in a line in Chronicles 6:33. Heman the musician, the son of Joel, the son of Samuel. So Heman was the grandson of Samuel, who was the final judge of Israel, the one who God anointed King Saul and King David, the one who anointed them. He was also one of three main musicians appointed by King David for the ministry of prophesying, accompanied by harps, lyres, and cymbals, as we can see in 1 Chronicles 25:1. Something tragic must have happened in his life to pour out such a lament before the Lord. These psalms for the bad times are called laments, a passionate expression of grief or sorrow, and more than half of the Psalter is made up of them. A typical pattern is that the psalmist addresses God, tells God of his overwhelming troubles, asks God to hear his prayer, then thanks God for hearing and answering his prayer. This last part is either from the perspective of expressing confidence that God will do this, and so he is promising to thank and praise God when he answers, or else from the perspective that God is actually having answered the prayer. The book of Psalms does not hide from the difficult issues of life. Now a shout out to my Old Testament professor, Dr. Jerry Shepherd at Taylor Seminary, for the next few slides. In the book of Psalms, there are 37 psalms, which are hymns, 17 that are psalms of thanksgiving, and there are 67 psalms of lament. In the book of Psalms, both individual and communal lament. In accounting for the rest of the 150 psalms, other types of psalms are Torah psalms, royal psalms, calls to worship, and more. It truly is a rich book of the Bible. Psalm 88 and 89 are the darkest psalms in the whole book of Psalms. Both are prayers for help, and both end without resolution. As we can see at the end of Psalm 88, the last line is, "Darkness is my closest friend." There's no praise at the end. The psalm just stops. The psalmist feels abandoned by God and even believes God has caused issues being faced. There are no breaks in the prayer for help, which is unusual. Some scholars believe the premature death of an individual may be the subject of the psalm. Have you ever been there? At the place where you thought someone you loved was dying, or maybe even you? I know I have. Twice after having jaw surgery. I was a brand new Christian at the time. I was just coming out of sedation in my hospital room. My jaws were wired closed. And as I woke up, I found I couldn't breathe. My friend was in the room with me and rushed out to the hallway to get help. A group of nurses came in and helped me breathe again. It was discovered I had been given too much sedation and my lungs were shutting down as in reaction to that. The second time I was in my apartment alone when I started choking. Again, after jaw surgery, my friend had made me an emergency cassette tape. It was back in the 80s, so cassette tapes were a thing back then, to play for 911 in the instance that I was choking. But using that didn't even cross my mind. With my jaws wired shut, I could not get rid of the blockage. The only thing I could think of was to run to the washroom and use my water pick to try and break up what was blocking my airway. Praise God that it worked, but in both of these times, I thought I was headed to my death. I needed to breathe. Let's take a look at Heman's psalm to see if we can discover what he was facing. If you just open your Bibles to Psalm 88, and we'll go through it a couple verses at a time. In the first two verses, there's a cry of distress. This cry of distress reminds me of another psalm written by David. Psalm 6:3 says, "My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord, how long?" Psalm 88 begins with an anguished cry of distress. We should notice two things about this. First, it is addressed to the Lord, the God who saves me, the God of my salvation. Despite the fact the psalmist is in a position where he feels overwhelmed by life, he still acknowledges that this is his God, the God who saves him. Acknowledging this can be a lifeline. Having a conversation directed to God is where this psalm breathes hope. Second, we notice the psalm is both worship and a prayer. Despite the sense of overwhelming despair in this psalm, it is addressed to God. Can we pray and worship when we are in despair? Next, we look at verses 3-5, the psalmist's troubles. We see here the psalmist has a list of his troubles, and it is an impressive list. The section is filled with images of death, including Sheol or hell, the pit, the grave, the dead, the slain, and defiled bodies. The psalmist uses these images to illustrate how serious his difficulties are. It is an overwhelming picture of darkness and despair painted here. In verse 3, the Hebrew uses plural troubles instead of trouble, probably highlighting the quantity of misery the psalmist was experiencing. There is no description of what exactly he was experiencing. By looking at the context, we can guess it could be physical suffering leading to death, emotional turmoil, loneliness, or spiritual distress, or maybe even all of the above. In verse 5, the psalmist says, "I am set apart with the dead," which has been interpreted to mean set free, as one would be from slavery. But unlike slavery, this sort of freedom lacks hope. As in the times this was written, there was thought to be no life after death. So the psalmist would be lacking the capability to praise God in heaven. He would just be dead, set free from life. In verses 6-9, the psalmist points to God as the source of his problems. God's providing these afflictions on him. God has brought him down to the very depths. Here again, we have the darkest images imaginable. God has brought him down to the lowest pit, the dark places, the depths. The psalmist feels the weight of God's wrath and anger, like waves crashing over him. In the Revised Standard Version of Scripture, verse 7 says, "Upon me your fury has pressed." In the New International Version, the same verse says, "Your wrath lies heavy on me." It's interesting to see the difference is first the fury being applied with pressure, and the latter, wrath, is more like a heavy covering, a picture of a burden rather than pain. Perhaps worst of all, God has removed his friends from him. There is no one he can turn to. He is utterly alone in life. We know from experience the support of family and friends is critical in helping us through the crisis of life. However, the psalmist feels as though he has none of these, and he says so more forcefully at the end of the psalm in verse 18. That is something we can experience while in a depressive state. When we have many troubles, it may be tough for others to be around us. Sometimes, dare we say, we might avoid people who are depressed. This is what the writer might be thinking. My life is so awful, so repulsive, no one wants to be around me. When we are troubled or depressed, sometimes the people around us may say unhelpful things, such as, "Get over it. Come on, pull up yourself by your bootstraps. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. You need to get out more. Have you been praying? You need to trust in God to heal you." We who live with depression or anxiety sometimes feel overwhelmed. Like the psalmist, we feel trapped and cannot get out. We need your prayers and encouragement more than anything. Something like saying something like, "Would you like some company for a while?" might be good. Or do you want to talk about it and then listen? And just like Heman, we may call out to God in a seemingly futile attempt to get him to listen. Or depending on our situation, we may not call out at all. Now looking at verses 10 to 12, these are some questions for God. As a result of all this, the psalmist turns to the only one he can, to God, whom he understands would be the only one to have power over his troubles. He has a series of six questions meant to shock God into action. Let's read these questions from the Message Bible, an interpretation written for modern times. Are the dead a live audience for your miracles? Do ghosts ever join the choirs that praise you? Does your love make any difference in the graveyard? Is your faithful presence noticed in the corridors of hell? Are your marvelous wonders ever seen in the dark, your righteous ways noticed in the land of no memory? They are all variations on one theme: the dead do not praise God. It is interesting to note each question in these verses mentions the realm of the dead, along with something about God's goodness. We see two things in these verses. The first is that the psalmist feels troubled even by the threat of death, literally or metaphorically. A second thing, more importantly, is that the psalmist equates praising God with life. If you were alive, you were praising God. If you were dead, no praise. This thought is expressed a little more clearly in a passage from Psalm 30, verse 9, another lament. What gain is there in my destruction, in my going down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Now in the last few verses, we see Heman's final cries of distress and affliction. The psalmist concludes the psalm by giving another desperate list of his troubles, crying out to God, detailing the ways God is afflicting him. The psalmist speaks of God rejecting him, being afflicted, and even dying. From the days of his youth, God's terrors, his burning anger, his dreaded assaults passing and swirling over him like waves in the ocean. The psalm ends with this one stark, anguishing word and a despairing cry, "Oh, darkness!" It is similar to the character Kurtz in Joseph Conrad's series, Heart of Darkness, who, as he faced death and looked back at the totally corrupt life he had lived, uttered his dying, despairing words, "The horror, the horror." Darkness is all the psalmist can see as he looks out around him. There is nothing left for him, it seems. Remember the words of Simon and Garfunkel's song, The Sound of Silence? "Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again." Although the psalm is expressed in first person singular, it might well have been a national psalm. The standard view in the early days of the church was that it belonged on Christ's lips as he pleaded with his Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, or as he faced the cross. Jesus' own disciples forsook him. Jesus trusted God as his deliverer, and contrary to Heman, shut the door against despair and prepared himself for the strength he needed on the cross. Could it be that God had Heman testify to the whole church of his weakness, as well as his faith and devotion to God, so all people would see this man of wisdom in deep despair and yet emerge from this darkness into the light of hope? Most people hid their cries from God, but Heman addressed God directly, which was a rare virtue. Heman followed God but was suffering intensely, yet he persevered in calling out to God and did not surrender his faith. Everything in this psalm is written to get God to listen. When we are in desperation, could this be a psalm for us? An article in the National Post, June 4th, 2020, is titled "COVID-19, Unemployment Could Trigger More Than 2,000 Suicides in Canada," study warns. The analysis is based on historic evidence that each 1% rise in joblessness is associated with a 1% hike in the number of people who die by suicide. The paper by University of Toronto researchers say action is urgently needed to prevent mental distress and could lead to hundreds more people than usual taking their own lives. The paper's lead author, Dr. Roger McIntyre, says the challenge now is to stave off those deaths, and one key to getting millions of Canadians rendered unemployed by the lockdown is back to work. Continuing in the article, it says David Klonsky, a University of British Columbia psychologist, questioned whether the link between unemployment and suicide is quite as strong as the study suggests. He looked at the research that found instituting social welfare measures, such as the billions in aid dispersed by our federal government, lowered the suicide rate. But it was found, even with the extra money given, many people are suffering mentally because of COVID-19. If your livelihood is being threatened, if your ability to provide for your family is taken away from you, that's incredibly painful, said Klonsky. If things don't get better, you lose hope. So hope cannot be found in employment or in government aid, like the CERB or wage subsidies. So where do we find hope when we're suffering? Can we find hope in God's word? In a psalm like Psalm 88? I believe Psalm 88 can encourage several groups of people. Those who are suffering and who are on the brink of despair, maybe depressed, maybe suicidal. Sorrow often overclouds our minds so much to as exclude for all time all remembrance, all remembrance of God's provision of hope. We may ask, why do I feel sad all the time? Why do I have to suffer like this? Where is God? C.S. Lewis said in his book titled The Problem of Pain, said that God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is God's megaphone to rouse a deaf world. God himself helps us in our weakest hours. Paul wrote in Romans 8:26, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. We ask, what right does God have to allow such pain, such distress, as was experienced by those contemplating suicide or by the psalmist of Psalm 88? What does he know of pain? The answer is that God does indeed know of pain. He subjected himself to it on our behalf. He himself gave his own son, his only son, to be tortured and killed. As a father, God must have suffered unspeakable pain at some level. God the Son obviously suffered. He knows our pain. I believe Psalm 88 can also encourage those who go without their prayers answered for long periods of time. Those whose prayers have met with silence from God, maybe asking for healing of an illness, maybe for a family member or friend to be saved. We may ask, why is God silent? Why has God distanced himself? Why has God rejected me or my request? A third grade teacher asked a group of children she worked with, what experience or situation might lead someone to say, I believe in God, even when he is silent? One of the third graders responded, when all your insides have drained out and it feels like you don't even have your soul left. Think about that. When all your insides have drained out and it feels like you don't even have a soul left. This child had never seen or prayed the text of Psalm 88, but she understood its content. In her writings, this teacher explored how praying Psalm 88 is a transforming act of faith, to pray when you don't even have your soul left. Another group of people this psalm may encourage is those who have been rejected or harmed by people and have no hope in humanity. We may ask, why does no one care about me? Why are they avoiding me? Why does no one ever reach out to me? This can be especially painful in the church family. Let us never be the one to reject or harm our brothers and sisters in Christ. So what can we apply to our lives from this psalm? I believe it teaches us several things. First of all, keep your conversation with God going. It shows us that even amid the worst circumstances, it is still possible to talk to God, to have a relationship with him. Remember, the psalmist is praying. He is not praying a very happy prayer or happy thoughts, but he is still praying, still talking to God. Despite his perception that God has caused his troubles, he still believes God is close enough to hear him. Prayer is not impossible even when we feel abandoned by God. We realize that any words can be said, any hurt can be conveyed, any complaints can be voiced to our loving Abba Father. He cares for all of us. Secondly, know that your sorrow or depression can be part of a believer's life experience. It is part of a believer's life experience not to be happy all the time, but to also experience sorrow or depression, to feel so depressed as to have nothing good to say to God. Our true feelings can be overwhelmingly negative, and it's okay. It's okay to express them to God. The very fact Psalm 88 is in the Bible tells us it's okay to cry out and question God severely in our distresses. Third, remember, God is a God of hope. Our God is a God of hope. Songwriter Marvin Tate said, "Whenever we pass through the valley of the shadow of death, we may find that it prepares the way for divine comfort." There is hope in a relationship with God. Our Lord hears our cries, our songs through our tears. He only wants that we not push him away. He wants us to cling to him, the God of our salvation, so that in due time, when we are able, we may once again praise him. What are your distresses today? Bring them before the Lord. Let's pray. God, our Father, we are made in your image, and so we have the feelings you have, feelings of joy and sorrow. We ask that you use your word to build us up in this hope that you have for us. We sing through our tears, Lord. We praise you in the storm. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Bonnie. I think it's encouraging to hear words that tell us it's okay. It's okay to have sorrow, and Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. So if you would stand with me, we're going to sing a new song. It's called Do It Again.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed. The night won't last. Your word will come to pass. My heart will sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise again. Still stands, great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. Still in your hands, this is my confidence, you never failed. Your promise still stands, great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. Still in your hands, this is my confidence, you never failed me, yes. I've seen you move the mountains. And I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way. And I believe I'll see you do it again. I've seen you move the mountains. And I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way. And I believe. Promise still stands, great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands, this is my confidence, you never failed. Your promise still stands, great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands, this is my confidence, you've never failed me yet.
If you are going through a time of sadness or suffering, we would love to pray with you. Pastor Darren's here, myself, Pastor Ben is here somewhere, at the back, I think. But yeah, we would love to pray with you. And please remember to social distance and wear your mask when fellowshipping outside. And we're just going to close with 1 Peter 5, verse 10 and 11. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen.